Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before you can do this, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Now, normally, I always have Nicole with me, and she's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. Only right now, I don't know where Nicole is. Sometimes she runs late in traffic. I'm not sure what it is because usually she lets me know if she's not going to be on air at the right time. So I'm assuming it's traffic or something. There's been thunderstorms everywhere, so maybe she was delayed. But I know she's always looks forward to doing the show, and she helps me a great deal, and I don't know how I would do the show without her. Now, if you would like to talk to me tonight, you do have to press the number 1. Okay, when you press the number 1, I will know that you do want to talk and be live on the air, and I will pick you up, and, you know, we can get right in with your questions. So I'm going to go to the first caller who's just pressed 1, and I do believe I know who this is. Hello, you're live and on the air.
Hi, it's me, I guess. You didn't say a number.
Hi, Pat. How are you?
How are
good.
You? Okay,
it's good. Good. It's good.
You
sound
to
so quiet.
It
doesn't sound like my
phone
usual
number.
And it doesn't sound like Pat. You know, she's so quiet.
Oh boy.
<You know>?
Yeah. How you doing?
So good. So I know you've been asking a lot of questions about all different things. So what's on your mind tonight?
Okay, you know the elderly lady that I have with me.
Yes, she's in her 90s.
That's
your roomie, of course.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, she acts like she's 60, I swear to God. But she seems to be forgetting where she puts things or whatever, and she said, this is gone, that's gone. We have a poltergeist here. You didn't take it. Somebody took it. And I said, but we don't have a poltergeist here that I know of. So she's getting a little annoyed, and she said, I don't know if I can trust you. I got upset with that, but I don't know how much longer
she's
going to be here.
But you know what? You have to understand, she's got some dementia. So dementia always manifests as I've lost something, I can't find something, it's not there. Mm-hmm. And there's always a little element of paranoia and distrust, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
I think
everybody's probably humored her when she can't find things by telling her it's a poltergeist. And that makes her feel better that it's, you know, it's not her losing something or somebody stealing it from her. So you're not going to be able to really deal with her so much on a rational basis. I mean, I would be a little careful with her because is she in the house when you're not there? Because, you know, when they have some dementia, they could burn your house down because they're not always aware of what they're doing.
I don't ever want her to be alone. I have a baptism to go to this weekend, so her son is going to be taking her for a day or two. But I don't ever
want
to leave her alone
in
the house.
She should not be alone in your house. I mean, I'm only trying to protect you and what's yours. Yes. I mean, she's not harmful. Yes. I don't mean, you know, like she wouldn't hurt you. But, you know, sometimes they really don't remember to shut the stove top off and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so she does.
Yes,
what I'm seeing here,
to shut
she
the
does,
bathroom light off.
Yeah, well, so, you know, shutting the bathroom light's not bad, but, you know, putting, you know, like the laundry in the oven is bad, you know what I mean? So it's
she's
kind
not
of like,
that bad yet.
No, she has,
thank
like,
God.
Really probably more hardening of the arteries maybe in the brain that's not, you know, that bad. But you might just want to, you know, go along with her poltergeist theory, you know,
okay.
And make light of what's missing and... she's just forgetful. And how long do you want her to stay here with you?
Well, I don't know. How long do you think she's going to be here? Because she did say today, I don't care. I'm going to go to a senior, not a senior center, what's the other, assisted living, and I don't have to worry about these things missing anymore. I said, what are you trying to say, that I took them? She said, I don't know who to trust. So I said, that's that, but how long do you think she's going to be here?
Well, I don't think she really wants to leave, by the way. I think, you know, I think in some ways she's manipulating you and kind of making you feel like she doesn't have to stay here. She has an alternate place to go. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I think she is a little bit of a manipulator. So.
Oh, I know that.
You know,
oh, boy, I know that.
I mean, you know, isn't it funny? You think, you know, sometimes people think, oh, because they're older, that way, maybe they know better. But if you've been manipulating your whole life, you just fall right into that. It doesn't matter if you're old. You're just actually better at it because you've been doing it your whole life. You know, she's been doing it for 92 years.
Yeah, I know.
You know,
but
she had
told me, yeah, it's all about the money for you. It's all about the money for you. I said, if it was all about the money for me, I would have never let you come back here the second time because you still owe me $900. So don't ever tell me again it's about the money.
Okay, but can you see how already she's, you know, she's living in your house. And when people live in your home, they go back to the way they behaved when they live with their family members. I mean, her husband has passed away, by the way.
Yes.
Because he's in the room now, okay? So he's the one who tells me she's a manipulator, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he says she used to argue and fight a lot. And you know, the problem when people live in a house, they fall back into the family dysfunction. So, you know, what she learned is if, you know, you live in a house with her, she gets to say what she wants and behave the way she wants. So you might not want to engage in her with that. You know what I mean? Like, if she says something, like she throws a punch at you in something that she says, like you only care about the money. And, you know, I would have just said, well, I'm sorry if that's how you feel. She wants a fight. She's depressed. Older people get depressed. And you can't be depressed and angry at the same time. So part of her just wants to fight with you. But I wouldn't take, you know, I wouldn't take her punches. I'd just defuse it. Don't fight with her. Because, you know, she just always argues with everybody. I mean, her husband, you know, notice how she's alive and he's dead. You know what I mean? Like, he couldn't take her after a while. And, you know, pretty much he's saying you're very good with her. You are very good to her. She really doesn't want to go to an assisted living, by the way. And secondly, she can't afford that, by the way. I mean, I don't know if she has the reality check going on there, but assisted livings are like $5,000 a month. You know, so.
Well, that's where she came from when she went to Colorado. That's why she came. The sons brought her back here. The sons don't even want her
in
the house.
Right, it was too much money. It was too much money. So, you know, I don't know where she thinks that's going to come from. Like her. So her husband is saying the best way is to yes her to death a lot. Yeah, sure. I mean, she's not going to be there forever. You probably have her like another year or so here, 6 months to a year. I mean, if she's making you unhappy in your own home, you will be the one that will tell her that she has to leave. It isn't going to be her, okay? I mean, you'll be the one who said you've had enough. I mean, are you starting to feel like you've had enough with her already?
No, it's just that if I didn't need the money so badly to get out of debt, I would say, you know what, I don't really want anybody in my house. But just that I need the money very badly to get out of debt, so I have to put up with her shenanigans.
Right, and also she's a lot better than some other people could be, by the way. I mean, she's just old. And if you're nice to her and you're sweet to her, I mean, just be nice and sweet to her is what her husband's saying. And, you know, she sometimes if you pray. And just if she's in one of her moods, he's just telling you to diffuse the situation. You know what I mean? Say, do you want something for dinner? And she starts yelling at you. Say, okay, I just asked. Like, don't even fight. She's looking for a fight is what I'm telling you. So a lot of people like to fight. Well, you know, what I've learned to do with those people is I'm not taking their punches and I'm not punching back. I'm just, you know, say something and walk away. Go in your room for a little while and, you know, kind of keep your distance from her. But, you know, just don't leave her too long alone in your house, and I don't think you're going to do that. You know, that's the only thing that
I don't want her alone in the house. Because she keeps saying there's poltergeist. And I started to laugh, and she said, what are you doing? I said, well, you know, what's funny is the fact that Alexandra's telling me that over there in the house, too, there's writing on the wall, they're writing smiley faces on the shower when I take a shower. Then I saw somebody walking by, and some white cloud. I said to myself, oh, brother, this one's saying there's a poltergeist here, the other one's saying the poltergeist there. What the frig is going on here? Is there really one, or am I crazy that I'm just not picking up on it?
I mean, there are definitely poltergeists that do walk through places. I mean, for the most part, they don't usually make themselves very known, by the way, unless, you're extremely psychic, whatever. But with the smiley faces on the shower, I'm just laughing because, steam does funny things. Or maybe somebody written one on it and the steam's just going on the fingerprint marks. But with this woman, I would just, not get too involved with her fighting and her nonsense. Just if she says poltergeist, yeah, I guess so, whatever. But
I told her today, there's no poltergeist in my house. But okay, I'll stop it from now on. I'll say, okay, I guess there is.
Okay, because you know what? She doesn't want to be accountable for her behavior. It's not her fault, okay? So, yeah. It's the poltergeist, whatever. Just, appease her. When people get like that, they're almost like a three-year-old. You can't even argue with them. It's not worth it, And, she spent her whole life having it's her way or no way, by the way. Have you seen that in her now?
Yes, because as soon as she said something before, she's like, I want you to come in the room and look through the drawers and see if you find the thing missing. Now, I said, what do you mean? She's like demanding. I have to drop everything and do what she wants. And she hates if I'm talking on the phone to Grace. She hates if I'm talking to anybody. She wants 100% of my time.
Well, now you can see she's turning you into her husband, is what her husband has just said. And he goes, and that's a job I didn't want. I'm not here anymore. Don't you take it on either. And you will have to just tell her, I'm sorry, when I'm on the phone, you are not permitted to disturb me. Like you would do with a four-year-old. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just make some ground rules there. And if she disturbs you, you're going to say, I am on the phone. You know what I mean? Just be firm with her, but don't get mad at her, per se, or make a fight about it. And draw healthy boundaries, because she doesn't know boundaries, as you could see that.
Yeah.
And, she's paying to have a place to, live, but she's not paying for you to be her assisted living assistant. You know what I mean? So
Exactly.
So, I mean, she's a challenge in some ways, but, look at it this way. You're making money with her there, and you're working for it, okay? We don't get money for free. You're working for this money.
Yeah,
okay?
I know I'm working for it. Let me tell you, I know.
Right, you're working for it. But this is your home, and it's up to you to draw healthy boundaries. Or, her husband just said, you will be sorry if you don't. Okay, so it's pretty much just, tell her, no, I can't help you with that, And, of course, she's older. It's an act of charity if she needs something. Of course, I know you would do it for her. But when she's just being a pain in the ass, don't give in to it, because you're going to create a monster. Okay, older people can be very, very demanding. And the latest studies are the biggest bullies are women 65 and over. I mean, she's bullying you sometimes. Don't let her bully you. You know what I mean? But
and then she
just
complained.
Take the money
she said
and run.
That her husband cheated on her,
Yeah, well, okay. If I were married to her, I probably would have cheated too, okay? You're like, look at her. Yeah. She's a pain in the ass. I mean, I'm laughing because the husband's a very charismatic man, and I'm sure he cheated. There's no doubt about that. But he's on your side. He's trying to tell you this.
Yes.
Really, do not give in to her because she'll get more and more demanding. You'll give her in one thing, she'll take a yard. So he just said, draw the healthy boundaries.
Yes.
Draw the healthy boundaries. He will be, he said he is walking around in the house sometimes, by the way, but he's not a poltergeist. He's just watching over her, and he says, I try to keep her in line, but it's not easy. So, you'll be laughing sometimes because you're going to sense and feel him in there. He tries to put thoughts in her head. Leave Pat alone already. Leave her alone. So, he's on your side. He understands that she's difficult. So, call in and let us know what happens with the new way of responding to her, by the way.
Okay. So there's
and
no
remember, she's not your mother. So don't.
I know that.
So don't start plugging in like she's your mom. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. She's not your mother.
When she first came, she reminded me of my mother. But then once I got to know her, she's nothing like my mother. Nothing like my mother at all.
Okay. Right. Because your mother was loving and not like that.
Much different.
But she did.
Yeah, much different.
She's kind of the princess that's becoming the beast. We talk about it all the time. You have no idea what you sign on for with people. And in the beginning, she has a very good way of doing what's called a halo effect. The first time, for the first couple of times people meet her, she comes across very sweet, and then her true personality mm-hmm. comes out. So, mm-hmm. you know, you just have to be a little firmer and, you know, just, you know, be kind about it. You know what I mean? Be nice about it when you say, and just say, when I'm, you know, I'm on the phone, you know, put your finger up. Do you know what I mean? So she knows not to bother you when you're on the phone. I mean, her husband says she listens if you like, if you're very firm with her. Because okay. he found, you know, he let her get away with murder oftentimes. So, you know, how he got even was he cheated. You know what I mean? Like okay. sometimes, you know, you're demanding and you're a bitch, and then the person goes find someone on the side who's nice to them.
Nicer. So I figured that out nicer. For myself already, and I didn't blame him. I didn't blame him at all.
Okay, good. He's laughing. I mean, he seems like he was in many ways a very hardworking, nice man, but she pushed him very far from what I could tell. And he's not saying he was a saint by any means, but he's just on your side. So, you know, he's on your side helping you. And, you know, so you got to laugh, you know. He says, Pat, believe me, I try to tell her, shut up, be quiet, sit in the corner. You know, he said, but I couldn't keep her very much in line on Earth, you know, when I was on Earth, but I'll try. So I do like
him. There's no poltergeist or anything over by Grace either, right?
No.
It's just negativity that's there?
I think, yeah, the negativity that's in the household. There's a lot of negativity.
Because her mother keeps coming downstairs, and mother is very negative. So I think
I tell you, the dead never scare me. The living scare the hell out of me, okay? So, you know, her mother's pretty scary force in that house. So, call in again and let us know how it goes with her as you try your new behavior modification with her. You know, and a sense of humor, okay? A sense of humor. Sometimes just laugh, you know, make light of it, laugh. Older people do tend to, they're so depressed. So if you can get them to laugh a little bit and be lighter, you'd be surprised. You might be able to change a little energy surrounding her. You're not going to change her, but you maybe can bring a little better side out in her, you know, so that she doesn't drive you so crazy.
Okay, well, okay,
you know,
that's fine, but I wish I could
do people live
and
die,
mother.
They don't learn. Right, yeah, well, forget that one. There's no hope for that one.
The best thing is to try to keep her out of Grace's apartment. I keep telling her, don't let her come down there and bother you all the time, please. That's where the bad energy comes in the house.
Okay, and we're also talking about boundaries. Right, you're right, and we're talking about boundaries, even if you have a mother-daughter house or you live in a household with another person. We have to respect people's boundaries. You know, we have to be,
she doesn't respect
it's
anybody.
Really, no, and that's, you know, and she's another one who's old. Now, you're giving us a very good example of a lot of people in this lifetime will not be fixed in this lifetime. They will be born and die and be narcissists who judge others, unfixables. You know, the only consolation is they'll get it right 10 lifetimes down the line, 20, 50. They'll eventually get it right, but don't count on this lifetime, either of these two women changing. And maybe it's just something, you know, you have, maybe at your stage in life, you need to learn that you just can't fix people. Some people you're just not going to fix. You know, we have to learn how to deal with them, strategically, with the facts, with a sense of humor, when we're stuck with them. But you can't let people overstep your boundaries because that really is not healthy. So, you know, draw your boundary lines and be firm on it. Don't be nasty or mean. She wants you to get nasty because that gives her power. She wants to – these people really want you to be miserable. They're miserable. They want you miserable. Don't give her
that
power. Do
Grace,
not let her make
that's
you miserable.
What I keep and that's what I keep telling Grace. Don't let her make you miserable. She's trying to make you without any money of any kind. She's a jinx.
And miserable, and that's what these people love us miserable. So I refuse to let those people let me make them think they made me miserable. I'll put on a good acting job to pretend they haven't bothered me, even if they're bothering me. But don't, know what I mean? But don't let her know. Well, thanks for calling in, and we're going to try to get another caller. And okay, good luck to you. Bye.
Thank you, sweetie. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
You're welcome, darling. Bye. We now have another caller. This is the 516-589 number. Okay. Hi, you're live and on the air.
Yes. Hi. My name is Patricia. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, sure. And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, so I think I pushed the 1993 number. Is that what I pushed?
Yes.
Okay, good. So, yeah, because this is a Cleveland. I'll get the next one next. Okay, so you're calling all the way from Cleveland, and you must have something
yes.
on your mind to be waiting to talk to me.
Yes, I have many, but I'll get it down to minimal.
Okay.
Now, I don't know. I'm not at a computer, but when I was there a few hours ago, I think you're obviously a psychic medium.
Right.
Is your specialty what relationships or love or can you ask
it's a
anything?
Little bit of everything, but love, yes. Do you have a love question?
Well, relationship period. I've been really starting to work energetically. I want to have a life partner. Still questioning marriage, but you know, to have a partner in my life. And I've been
good.
Meaning I started to pray and meditate. I've written it down, you know, the particular qualities. And had a vision book, cut out pictures of persons that are known, but, you know, the qualities they exude when I see them perform. But anyway.
So you're on a spiritual path. You're on a spiritual path.
Yes. Very, very much so. And I'm... Yeah, it's taken, seems like, a long time for my life's mission as a healer, I guess, is my main one. And I've been told it's with the music, but I guess I was to specialize in sound that would give me the difference or the added, you know, from other, you know, healers.
Wonderful.
So now, and then, of course, you have to go through all the licensing because, you know, everyone else has to make money except you, you know, to find out state
okay,
to
well,
state.
Well, that's one thing. We're the first generations that are supposed to make money doing a spiritual calling. So I want you to sort of switch that energy because you deserve to be paid for your services. And we want to make it so other people, you know, when you grow up, nobody thinks they're going to grow up to be a psychic or a healer. They're going to be a baseball player, ballerina. You know, it's nice that people can know that you can make money doing this. And I do see you making money in the future, by the way, from your healing.
But anyway, and it's taking some years, I guess, for me to, I guess, creator, mother goddess, is to get to this path. So in the meantime, I'm, you know, been studying and learning to play the guitar and so I can write songs. I guess it's spiritual music that I am to do. But anyway, what I would like to
know.
So
you're very gifted.
Yes, and I've showed up and I've worked through fears and, of course, still doing that. But it's just the learning of the guitar and, the, you know, the music period. But anyway, I just like to know how close am I? Because I mean, here in this, it's very toxic and just negative for me. And I'm only here the remainder of my time to finish up these classes in my audio engineering, and then I am getting the hell out of here next year.
Okay, where do you want to go to?
Probably Pacific Northwest. I feel guided to.
Okay, good. Because there's a lot of changes. There's a lot of changes in your future, okay, including a soulmate. That was like the first card I got for you. And, you know, the wonderful thing that you're doing is you're doing a lot of your own inner healing. And so that when you do, you know, when you do your homework and you do your healing, when the soulmate love comes, which always does bring up additional unhealed issues, there'll be so few that it won't sabotage the relationship. And, you know, it's kind of linked to your spiritual path. And, you know, this is a really nice person here, very loving, supportive, kind, hardworking. You also need a little more fun in your life. Are you aware that you don't have anybody recharging your batteries? You know?
Yeah.
Older soul, you're a very old soul, and older souls are like the donkey people. We work and we work and we work. We sometimes need someone to come in and teach us how to play a little bit, you know, and how to have a little more fun in life. because that's I'm seeing you're a little bit drained from everything you're doing. So, you know, this person's going to add a little more dimension of fun into your life.
Oh.
And, you know, I don't think you've always picked the best people in the past, by the way.
No,
and,
I haven't.
You know, older souls tend to fall for the prince and princesses that become the beast. They have no idea what they sign on for. Okay, and
no,
you know,
no.
and we are here to learn. We can't fix people. Certain people won't be fixed, but we're, you know, we're here to learn. You know, who's fixable and who's not, and not wasting our time on the narcissist
right.
who judge others and are not accountable for their behaviors, because they're never going to learn in this lifetime. So I think you know what you don't want, and you don't want to fix anybody anymore. I mean, we're messengers is what a healer is. We deliver messages. I deliver messages.
Right.
What people do with it is up to them. It's not up to me.
Right.
If they want to fix themselves, heal themselves, fine. If they don't want to, I've learned to separate from that. We can't fix the world. But this man isn't a man that needs fixing is what I'm trying to explain to you. He's already done his homework. It looks like, you know, he has picked the princess that became the beast at one point in his life. So he had to learn he couldn't fix people either. And so when God brings two very good people together, life is really easy. Love is simple. It's easy. That's what this is. It's not a complicated. When people tell me their love life is complicated, I'm like, no, it's dysfunctional. Because love is not, you know, complicated. It's simple. You love somebody and you know how to treat them. So that's coming in your life. Try to make the best of the time you're in Cleveland. I know you're not loving it, but you know, you are learning what you need to learn there. So bless that. Are you meeting any like-minded people there? Do you have any friends there that you will make friends?
Not. I've just had the karma with my relationships all my life, so that's been quite difficult. So, No, not really, because I just tend to stay to myself. Because I mean,
I older souls like to be by themselves. By the way, because their energy, they're really happy when they're alone.
Yeah,
like, I'm sure you feel peaceful.
Yeah.
Right. Of course.
Yeah.
And you're a healer, so you're an empath. So when you're sometimes near people, you're going to pick up their bad energy or feel their bad energy. So it makes it uncomfortable for older souls to be near people sometimes. But what you might want to do is try to connect with people more on a heart-soul level and see if you can't, you know, ask God to bring some of your soul group into alignment with you, some people who are more like-minded, you know. And and I think in the past, yes, you had, you know, karmic lessons to learn about relationships, and mainly that you've had a lot of unfixables in your life, a lot of people who could not be fixed, who've made your life hell. And at this point, you've learned your karmic lesson. Enough is enough. You're not here to fix them. You walk away. You'd rather be alone than with these people. And that's good. You're at a good place. But there are 30% of genuinely good people on the planet, and you would like some of those to come your way. You know, it's really nice to have soulmate friends and people that you can, that are kindred spirits, that are not just lovers but friends. And that's what I'm seeing here for you. And it would be nice for you to get a little bit of sisterhood, you know, with some women who really are empowering of other women. I think you've had a lot of jealous women in your life that have disempowered you. It would be nice to have empowering women, and that's what I see here for you too. So,
how close am I to connecting with my life partner? I mean, is he in another state and I have to
It looks like he's circling right near you, so I'm not so sure you have to go anywhere. So, but you have to be open to it. And, you know, the greatest invitation to love is to be loving first. So you might want to work on that energy that you're giving out, because you do give off energy that you're not interested. So if a man would come near you, he might think you're either taken, not interested, or a snob. Okay, so maybe work on that. You know, be a little more approachable. And you know, it is. When is your birthday? You don't have to give me the year; just the month and the day.
7/16
Okay, November 16th? Okay. Because it looks like it'll...
July 16th.
Oh, July. So you're in your... Oh, wow. So this is a perfect time for reading because your new year goes from one birthday to the next. So, wonderful. So it's in this birthday year coming up. So July 16th to the next July 16th. So keep your eyes open for love.
Okay.
And that would be wonderful for
okay,
you.
Okay, yeah.
And
I've discovered, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
I think you've been a little afraid of love, by the way, because you haven't made good choices. And so you're a little bit of a closet commitment phobic. You want love, but you're scared. So, the universe is saying, let us bring this to you, please. And you'd be surprised because unless we really have a soulmate love that we maintain, we're going to have to walk the earth again. So, if we have to walk the earth again and we've had this soulmate that we've maintained, we may have a lot more say in who we meet and what might be an easier lifetime in which we have our mission to answer but not so many hard lessons to learn. Because older souls have a lot of hard lessons to learn. And mostly it's that you can't fix people and you have to punish certain people. You have to learn to walk away.
Yeah.
And you've learned that.
Yeah, and I've been recently in the last 9 months I've learned about past lives and karma, and wow, what a lesson. I'm still dealing with the man, meaning that he doesn't know anything about past lives, but there was an attraction, and he's a musician, and he's married, but anyway, I didn't understand it at the time, but he is very toxic. He practices some type of voodoo and black magic, and he controlled me for just a bit of time until I got grounded again and got myself protected, with energy and light.
Good.
He still tries to control me, meaning he shows up where I'm living at, and just, I should say spirit, but he's living, obviously. He's an older man, about 72. And he is really truly, and in the past lifetime, I found out that he was a cult leader, was manipulative and controlling. He liked to manipulate and control women, and especially, and probably in this lifetime, too. And so, and he's an excellent musician, but like I said, I stopped going to any of his concerts. And so, like I said, he's, gotten to the point where I can tell he has said to some of his friends and probably even his wife that I may have said or done something. I haven't done anything. But like I said, I know I'm understanding it, what it is and how much of a, and he ought to have been thankful that he got that little attention from me, even though it was by accident, a past life. But he is something else.
Right.
And so I just ignore him and just keep grounding myself and keep praying over myself and just keep, doing my energy work. And like I said, so he may be in a bad marriage. I don't care.
Right, again, it's not your job to rescue him or save him at this point.
No, and he doesn't care about me.
Right.
He's
a narcissist. They don't care about anybody.
Yeah.
good luck to you. Call in again and let us know what manifests, but, stay away from the bad energy, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Calling in. Bye. Bye.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Hello?
Hello, you're live and on the air, 0194.
Oh, hello. Hi, Cindy. Thank you for taking my call last night.
You're welcome. And who is this?
This is
Eleanor. For our listeners. Eleanor. Okay, so what's happening? Eleanor is a regular call-in, so we like when they call back in and we get to find out what's happening in Eleanor's life. Your relationship, you said earlier in an email that you sent me, is doing better. That seems to be okay, your love relationship.
So I can touch upon it later to check in, but my concern.
You're kind of breaking in and out. I'm not sure what's happening with your phone.
Okay. okay, I work in a very corporate environment, and I think that I just got thrown under the bus by some coworkers, and I just feel very uncomfortable. I feel like I'm working in a snake pit. I was wondering if you're picking anything up about it.
Okay. The first card I got was the card in which a person's lying on the ground with knife stabbed in their back, so I don't think you're making this up. Okay.
No. And my intuition is telling me, it's screaming that there's something going on there.
Right. And, you know, what we talk about on the show all the time is trusting our gut. When our gut tells us somebody's up to no good or they're out to hurt us or they're lying, they are. You know, I mean, you don't need to second guess your gut. You know, it looks like there's a lot of dog-eat-dog going on in that place, like jealousies, and you are in corporate America, and corporate America is always, you know, everybody's always afraid for their job, so oftentimes you're not going to get a great camaraderie there.
Mm-hmm.
It looks more like there's one or two, maybe two people making most of the trouble. Have you figured out which one or two they are?
Yeah, I suspect from my gut,
Yeah, I mean, it's not everybody, you know, but
no, I know.
What happens is the way the world works is, you know, 7 out of 10 people aren't all that great. 4 of them are the Dr. Jekylls, Mr. Hydes. And those people, you know, are usually okay unless everybody's going to gang up against you. Then they probably will join these people that aren't great. But right now, it's really just these two particular people. One of them has a lot of jealousy about you. And, you know, first of all, you are a single mother. You've divorced, you know, you've got a boyfriend, you know. People tend to envy people if, you know, you give off a nice, happy vibration. This person looks pretty miserable. So, you know, that's part of the problem, a little bit of jealousy. Are you thinking of looking for another job, by the way?
No. Is my job right now in danger?
No, I don't see it in danger. I just see you're going to have to find a way to deal with it without taking it to heart. And it's pretty much what we were talking to Pat when she lives with that older woman. When you're dealing with the unfixables, the narcissists who judge others, it's sometimes best to be very strategic with them. Say as little as you can. Don't answer all their questions. Deal with them with a sense of humor. Stick with the facts. And you might not want to confide too much about anything with anybody in the place because, again, I told you, some of them can go against you. You know, right now they're not, but you know, try not, you know, if when people start ganging up on a person, people will tend to join because they don't want anybody ganging up on them.
It's a playground bully mentality.
Exactly. So, I mean, if I were you, I'd just be nice. I'd take my money and run. That's part of our karmic lessons in life sometimes. Do your job to your best of your ability, you know, and then leave. You know, just don't.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy what I'm doing. I enjoy where I'm working. This particular coworker you're talking about, she's what you call a fair-weathered friend. She becomes a very close, supportive, wonderful friend when my life is falling apart, you know. But when things are good, you know, then, you know, she's just a misery.
That's the jealousy. That's what I'm trying to tell you. These are like when we were talking about with Pat. That old 92-year-old woman is miserable. She wants Pat to be miserable. They're only happy if you're miserable. If you're happy, then they don't like that because they're trying to prove their theory that the world sucks, everybody sucks, nobody's happy. She doesn't want to see you happy. So, you know, how do you deal with her strategically? Maybe don't let her know you're so happy.
I'm going to stay neutral, and I'm going to stop confiding.
Neutral.
And, yeah, this is not my work family anymore. I did a complete 180 today. So I realize they're not my work family anymore.
Right.
And the other one is my supervisor, and she comes across, you know, very sweet and very loving, but I think I know there's a dark side to her.
She's a sweet manipulator. Now, we have the bully manipulators, and then we have the sweet ones. They're harder to tell. They're the ones that, like, they'll say, oh, can you do my work for me today? I'm so tired. Here's a donut. I love you. Mwah, 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 mwah. And you do their work for 900 days. At the end of 900 days, you're fired because your work's not done, and she'll go, like, why didn't you do your work? You know, very sweet. The sweet manipulators are the hardest ones to really, really pick up on. You almost can't be mean to them because they are so sweet. But you realize that every time, you know, but you're dealing with what you didn't learn in some of your relationships with men. You end up learning at work. There's a lot of narcissists, and narcissists are just manipulators, and they're also very judgmental. They're always judging you. You feel uncomfortable. I mean, mostly it's like if they're not going to fire you, or you're not in jeopardy of losing your job because you're a donkey person. You do the work of eight people. Nobody's going to get rid of you. They have to hire eight more people. But you've just acknowledged they're not really your friends, okay? They're not really your friends. They're people you work with. You can keep it a cordial relationship. And realize that it was nicer when you had the illusion that they were your friends, but they were mostly being nice to you when you were miserable.
Right.
And now that you sort of got yourself back on your feet, you know, it's like, oh, well, who is it she thinks she is? And,
right.
You know, there's still, you know, one or two, there's still a few people on the job that like you, and I'm sure you can have a little conversation or fun with. But as a rule, this is not, you know, try to just go do your job and, you know, take your money and run. But you're not being paranoid, or you're not being paranoid about it. It's actually, I could see in the cards that there are just some people who, you know, they can be very sabotaging. And you work in an office environment. Is that where you work?
Right. It's an office environment.
And offices tend to very quickly disintegrate into a dysfunctional family. You know, all of a sudden, you know, and it's particularly, you know, I've noticed with a lot of times with women that have sisters, they can be very jealous of other women. Like, I only had brothers. I'm not jealous of other women. I'm very empowering of them. But sometimes women who had sisters that they didn't get along with, one was prettier, one was smart, they're always very competitive with other women. And you're always, like, if you're staying in an office environment, you're going to see everybody's family dysfunction come out. You know, and everybody takes on the role they had on their family. If they were the one that was neglected, if they were the one that was the bully, everybody takes on a role. So, you know, you want to step outside the dysfunctional triangle of rescue, a persecute, a victim that takes place there. Like right now you're feeling a little persecuted, okay, and victimized. And, you know, maybe someone will come in and try to rescue you and make it all nice. Just step outside of that by just sticking with facts, being strategic, and knowing what you're dealing with. Now, you know, most of the people that I'm seeing here are the Dr. Jekylls, Mr. Hydes. They can go which one way or the other. Try to bring out the better side of them if you can. But, you know, how long have you worked there now?
In that particular place, about 3-4 years.
Okay, so you're lucky you didn't see all this for 3 or 4 years. I think you were so busy with your divorce and everything that was happening in your life.
Exactly.
Maybe,
personal problems.
Maybe you didn't have time to see it. But now that the tornado, you know, the house has finally hit the ground and you're staying in one place, you're starting to see who people really are. But, I mean, I don't see anything you have to worry about in terms of being out of job. I just think it just makes it a little less pleasant to be there. And remember, you're an empath. You're a very old soul, and you feel this unhappy and this dysfunctional energy, but I wouldn't take it personally. We have to almost overcome our own form of narcissism, which is to really take things too personal. It's not about you. It's about them.
I just felt like it was a betrayal, you know, of me.
Well, that's why you got the betrayal card with the knife in your back. Yeah,
right.
You did get the betrayal card. Right, because but life is filled of love, trust, and betrayal. Okay, it's everywhere. You love people, you trust them, then they betray you. And sometimes it's just really sad to see when you're happy, people raining on your parade. You know, you're finally getting into a good spot.
Step aside.
Right, and, you know, it's just, again, envy is a very pernicious emotion, and, you know, people are starting to envy where you are. And so instead of being happy,
I would think that they're happy
funny,
in their lives.
Right. Right. I mean that you know, they're just not happy. So, you know, there's nothing bad in your cards. It just looks like, well, okay, it's another lesson in not everybody's good, not everybody's nice, not everybody's fixable. Unfortunately, we learn that lesson over and over and over again. I mean, as a rule, it's why I've tended to always work alone because I don't want to deal with all of this stuff.
Right.
But,
no,
you know, in the real world, sometimes we need to work with other people. We have to get along with other people. We have to be in that.
I'm beginning
and,
not to like,
you know,
a lot of people.
Okay, well, 7 out of 10 people are not all that fixable. Again, 4 of them are stupid, and Dr. Jekyll's Mr. Hyde, and we can usually control them. But it's just sad. You're just seeing it. What happens is you're no longer Pollyanna. When I first met you, you were still Pollyanna, where you wanted to see the good in everybody and believe everybody was telling you the truth and, you know, and give them the benefit of the doubt. Now you're going the other end of the spectrum, where you're really seeing it without rose-colored glasses. The first year or two is really painful. Okay, because you really start seeing, man, that one, this one, that one. After that, you don't want to become jaded. You just want to trust your gut. And your gut's telling you got to watch your back a little, so watch your back. But taking it personally, the worst thing you could do, because it's not really about you. It's what you represent, an independent woman who's actually made a big life change and has, you know, a lot of strikes against her, and yet she's managed to still be happy.
Right.
I mean, you're not playing victim anymore. And you've given
no,
up on that victim consciousness. Right. No, and so that's an amazing, amazing, amazing change in your life. So what I'm just seeing is really good things for you. And unfortunately, it is kind of sad that if you are in a work environment, why people can't be more pleasant, you know, why they can't make it, you know, a happy family. Why does it have to be the dysfunctional family? But so many times it's like that at work. It really is. And, you know, don't take it personally. You know, be nice. Address the facts. Don't talk too much personally about your personal life in general, good or bad or otherwise anymore.
Yeah.
Because they obviously don't want to hear.
Yeah, no. I pretty much just wanted to confirm, you know, my gut, which was I got stabbed, which is what you did confirm. And, you know, who the perpetrators may have been. And
yeah, and there's only like 2 of them. The rest of them are just kind of going to go along with which way the wind blows. And
right, that's what I figured.
Again, if you don't make it a war there, because you don't allow those people to make you get on the defensive, just, you know, then it'll probably diffuse in the next month and kind of go back to being not the same way it was before, because you now see reality, but probably a little more pleasant, you
right.
know, just if you don't get all defensive and take it all personally. I mean, it's very hard because older souls want everybody to like them, and it's really uncomfortable being near people that you know don't like you or not are not after your greater good. It's really unpleasant. I mean,
right,
I find it really unpleasant.
Yeah.
I know it's,
yeah,
but
it's horrible.
It's one of the things we just have to learn sometimes to get a little tougher skin about it. And I don't know if I'm ever in this lifetime going to overcome where I don't care what people think or how they feel. I think it's always going to affect me. I just only let me affect me briefly and then say, okay, what can I do about it? Do you know what I mean? But we're never going to get where we don't care. You know what I mean? Oh, that,
but
it's okay.
You have that awareness, which is what most people don't have.
Right, and just to be aware of it, and, you know, it's one of the things we're back on Earth. We're back on Earth to stop. These people are so early. Excuse me. Excuse me. Let me just answer the phone. Hello, I have a radio show right now that I'm doing. You're very early. See it, okay. I'm in the middle of my show. Okay. So I love when I schedule for 8:15, so I have a break
That's okay.
between things. It's life, isn't
sorry.
It? And but anyway, it's learning sometimes how to deal with people. And, you know, the way you're learning is something you're going to be able to teach your children, too, by the way. How your children
well,
can behave near people that are not always, you know, the nicest.
It's
you
a
know,
really,
and not
really
always.
Tough lesson.
Right. And if we don't learn it as grown-ups, how the hell are we going to teach our kids?
Right.
You
well,
know,
I am
and sometimes.
Pass that on.
And when you teach children, that, like sometimes, you know, children will come here that are fairly young for a reading. And, you know, just when, you know, I tell them not everybody's good in this planet and they're never going to be good. The best you can do is, you know, try to bring out the best in them or not take it personally. The kids are so relieved by that. They go, really? Like they've never heard anybody say that. You know, I mean, there's just certain people you're not going to be able to really get along with all the way, but you can choose not to make a war zone there because that's what it looks like. They're almost like drawing like, you know, we were talking about boundaries with Pat. It's
yeah,
almost like they're
boundaries.
Overstepping boundaries. You need to draw a clear boundary as to what's acceptable and what's not acceptable behavior.
Right.
you know. And,
no, I definitely do.
And they're almost like declaring war, and you just don't have to accept that declaration of war. Do you know what I mean? You
right.
can just,
yeah.
okay, you know. And you're just a little bit shocked with the one who you thought was your friend, and now you're seeing, like, her turn
an
against
evil side.
You now that
yeah.
you're happy. An evil
yeah.
side. And, again, that's the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Can you see? Sometimes she's good,
yeah.
sometimes she's not. You know, you might be able to hook her better side again, but that might take a while. So in
yeah.
the meantime, try to, you know, avoid the confrontations or whatever. And, again, remember
right.
when I was talking with Pat, they might throw you a punch. They want you to engage.
Right.
I wouldn't take up the punch. Do you know what I mean? Just
right.
diffuse it, because you do want to stay there. You do want to work there. And,
right.
you know, part of it, what makes people really successful in business is emotional intelligence. You know, and you have a lot of emotional intelligence. And, you know, some people just are always like a six-year-old ready to fight and like it's in the playground instead of learning how to be professional. And, you know, part of being professional is, okay, this person's got a mood on today and I'm not going to engage in it. And, you know,
right.
this too shall pass. If they see it doesn't bother you, maybe it'll get better. So
right.
that's
so I have to handle
something
it
important for
way.
You to know. Well,
okay.
call in again and let us know if it gets any better, by the way.
Okay. No, I appreciate it. And things look good with the boyfriend and me.
Yes, very good. Yes, very good. Very good. You know, that's why I was actually surprised you when you emailed me. I'm like, oh, my, things looked pretty good, that they were probably going better with her. And then when you said, no, it's about business, I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, well, at least something's going
but
on.
But you ever notice
right
with
life, right?
you get one part of your life on track and then another part goes off. It's like.
Exactly. It's a cog on the wheel.
Well, you were lucky.
It has to be, yeah, yeah.
You were lucky. You had about 2 weeks reprieve from it. Now it's like, now there's another. Off track. So it is the way it is with life. It's always something, you know, Gilda Radner, it's always something.
Yes.
You know.
You're right.
Well, good luck to you. I'm going to try to get one more caller.
Okay,
before
thank
our
you very
over.
Much for taking my call. I
You're
appreciate
welcome.
It. Bye.
Bye. Okay, we're going to go over to Florida here. It's a 5349 or the last number that I still don't know where my Nicole is. Okay. Hello, you're live and on the air.
Hi, Cindy. This is Lena. How are you doing?
Lena, okay, so you've been going through a lot today.
Yeah.
I've been getting your face.
Yeah, it's been
okay,
really
so
rough.
You have the stalker.
Since my birthday. Yeah, since my
right.
birthday, it's been really rough. I don't know. I'm really hoping things turn around soon and I find a job and I can get on my feet again, because I'm getting very frustrated. And this man is, like, blocking my energy level.
Okay, so you are applying for jobs?
Oh, my gosh, all day, all morning. I mean, I was at the police department early to file the report because this guy just got out of hand when I didn't want to live with him or abide by his terms, and he's turned on me, you know, like revengeful, and sending me all kinds of nasty text messages demanding I pay him $500. I never borrowed a nickel from him. And then he's saying I put nails in his tires. He was 3 hours away from me.
Well, I think in general tonight, we always have a theme for the show. I think tonight's theme has been, you know, people are, you know, there are all kinds of people on this planet, and, you know, the best thing, you filed the police report, and they did speak with this man?
No, he wouldn't pick up the phone, so the deputy sent him a text message telling him that if he does not stay away from me, there will be stalking and harassment charges filed.
Okay, good, good. That's probably a good start to get him to go away. And again, you're doing what I'm always telling people. You know, good people don't like to punish people or make trouble for them. So I know you were trying not to do any of this, but he's gotten so out of hand that you had to do what you had to do. It looks like he will back off. I don't think this is the first time someone has done stalking charges on him, by the way.
Are
so,
you serious? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, he seems like he knows all the ropes. That's why he makes up all kinds of fake profiles. He's all over my Facebook. He must have about 3,000 different profiles.
Well, you know, I think, you know, so I think he's gotten scared by that, you know, police report. So that's good. And then you can then focus on your job hunting campaign, and let's see what's going to happen with your job, because that's the most important thing for you.
It is the most important.
And this time you want to make sure, you know, again, you heard our last call, Eleanor, you know, in offices, it always seems to disintegrate into sometimes not being, you know, what we thought it was. Jobs start out one way and all of a sudden
definitely.
They're another. And you know what I was talking about with the dysfunctional family. That's part of, you know, offices, right? You see it. It gets really dysfunctional. So this one you want to put out to God, please, I don't want to be in a dysfunctional family. Make sure that, you know, the job I get is with normal, good people. Because that's what I'm seeing here is a really nice job here. Good money, getting the Queen of Pentacles card. So that's usually better money than you've made in the past, which would be important. And it looks like it might take, you know, a few more weeks yet. So I know that would probably make you crazy, but it'll be sooner than later. And are you getting any assistance anywhere to help you?
No, even my sisters, no. I don't get any help from anybody. I'm on my own. I have a little bit of money left in my bank account that I had saved from that other job, and because I was saving up for a down payment for an apartment, and then when I lost my job, I had to live off of it. I haven't gotten a check since March.
Wow. And you know, just it looks like it'll be sooner than later. Are you looking in the same field you've had? Are you trying just for anything that you look like you're qualified for?
Yeah, I mean, this area where I'm living, it seems like there's not too much. I think because more and more people are moving here and there's less opportunities.
Right, exactly. But, you know, you're very qualified. So, you know, it looks like you will get something. I know it's kind of discouraging because a lot of times, you know, the resumes are going into slush piles and nobody even responds at all. You know,
no.
Sometimes you wonder if, you know, if they get there to people, but they are. And just know that you're going to do very, very, you know, you'll get, this job looks much better than the last couple of ones you've had, which have been, you
know. Oh, my God. I've had really bad
doozies.
Jobs. The best.
And
yeah, actually, I had an online interview last night that I did on the computer, and so I'm. Do you think that one might come through? Because that's sort of further away, but the money was good, and it's more in a compassion. It's with the Boys Town. You know, maybe that's why you see they're better people.
Right. No, this looks good. This looks good. It looks like nice people too. And generous, by the way. So
yeah,
because you know,
I want to move out of this area. I think if I get out of this area, it might help me too. Because this guy has friends all around this town where I'm living, and they go into the places where I go, and they just sit and stare at me.
All right. Well, we don't want that. So, well, anyway, we're just about the end of our show, so I have to close up.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Because Nicole's not here to help me. Good luck. Let me know when your job comes. And I really wish I knew what happened to my Nicole tonight. That's like, you know.
Okay,
thank
you.
I'm a psychic. I should know. Okay, bye.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye.
Good night. Well, thank you, all of our callers, and we'll speak to you next week, and we'll find out the mystery of where Nicole went tonight. Thank you for all being patient with me. It always works a lot better when Nicole's here. Good night, everybody, and enjoy your week. Bye.